And yeah, so it's yet another edition of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Season now well underway. Whitehaven, since we last had a podcast, played three games, won one, lost two. We'll perhaps talk about that later on. But there are wider issues and wider news stories to cover. And to that end, we're absolutely delighted to have once again with us James Gordon from loverugbyleague.com. Welcome along, James.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, great to have you along. I look forward to hearing what you've got to say. And also, as always, just to keep me right and make sure we're fair players followed at all times, we have our Haven fan from Bury, Paul Stubbs. So welcome along, Paul.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so down to business, really. I'd say we'll maybe talk later about Whitehaven and what's going on with the team and one thing and another. But I'd say James Gordon along. James, it's worth reading his online blog and news features on loverugbyleague.com. So just to start with, James, just ask you, What do you make of the 2021 championship season thus far? What's your take on things?
Yeah, I think obviously there's been some eye-catching results, you know, both ways. I think if you look at each round, there's probably results that you wouldn't have expected. Obviously, you know, I'm Widnes is my team, and Widnes have had a pretty difficult start. You know, suffered a couple of certainly a pasting against Batley, who've done well. But then, you know, on the flip side, I think everyone's almost had a bit of that. Like Halifax had a really good result against Bradford, but then Halifax battered London, I should say, and then have sort of been turned over three times, haven't they, since?
That's right.
And I think, you know, maybe people got ahead of themselves a bit with York and they lost their first two, and then, you know, Sheffield probably won a few games that you didn't expect them to and then ended up getting beat last week. So, you know, it's a bit like, it's good because obviously it means it's unpredictable. You know, same, I think Bradford lost their first game, didn't they? And then they've won three on the spin since then. So, you know, it's good that it's hard to throw a sheet over them. I mean, before the season started, I thought Featherstone and Toulouse would be the top two, and I think that's probably going to be the case.
Yeah.
So, you know, see what happens. I mean, like I said, I think I've probably seen most of the teams already. You know, and maybe London Broncos I actually haven't seen, but you know, I think, you know, you said before inviting me on, I think you're probably right. There's, you know, if you take away Featherstone and Toulouse, there's not actually a great deal of difference between the rest, but you know, clearly that's good for the fans and good for us watching, because it means that all the games will hopefully be competitive and you won't be able to call them. Because I know a few people have been critical of Super League, and that it's, or someone tweeted me actually last night saying that they've predicted all but two of the Super League games, and one of them was a draw. I can't remember what the other one was. And so people, there's a theory that maybe Super League's a bit more predictable these days, but you know, clearly the championship isn't.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if that has an impact on the attendances, because you know, within the next few weeks we'll be seeing people back at ground. So if providing entertainment and excitement through unpredictable results, hopefully that might encourage a few more people to get back to watching live rugby.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine the board at Widnes might well have disagreed with you after their first few games. I mean, it might have the adverse effect for Widnes, but certainly, I think, yeah, you know, I know a few teams have moved the games, haven't they, from Sunday the 16th to Monday the 17th, out of anticipation that fans will be able to return. But
yeah,
you know, I think, you know, it's worth remembering that no fans have been to Championship rugby for, you know, for more than 12 months. You know, it will be past 14 months, won't it, by the time they come back. So hopefully, you know, there'll be plenty of people who've been starved of live sport who'll want to attend. And, you know, I might even pick up some football fans as well, because of course football season will be finished, but you know, fans haven't been able to go there. So if you haven't been to a live game for a year and you've got rugby league on your doorstep, then you know, you might want to they might want to try that out and see where they go. And like you say, if you know that you're going to go to a game that you can't call the result, then you know, great.
That's right. That's right. I suppose, you know, the as I say, the early season results, as you say, seeing teams taking points off other teams, so that's been good. The other thing about the early season games is that we've been able to see most of them through the our league app. So what have you made of that, James? What's your take on that?
I mean, I've done a lot of work in the past with streaming and live streaming, not just in rugby but in other sports, and I speak to Mark Foster at the RFL about it quite regularly, and you know, clearly the Our League app is something that they've been bringing on for a couple of years. They probably weren't expecting to be streaming games as they have been, but you know, clearly they didn't predict the pandemic was going to be around the corner. But they're probably fortunate that they actually created Our League a couple of years ago, because imagine if it didn't exist, we'd have all been scrambling around, you know, looking at ways we could have shown the games. I'm fortunate that you know, I can go to the game. You know, I've been to a few games as well, but you know, it's good that fans can watch it. But then at the same time, you've got to find that balance, haven't you, between people streaming it and actually people buying tickets to go to the game.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's $4.95 to watch your club play, but that's significantly less than paying through the turnstile. So clearly, that's not a long term sort of deal, is it? Really?
No. And I, to be honest, I asked sort of that question. I had a Zoom with Mark Foster and a few people from the Our League team at the RFL a few weeks ago, and I asked that question. You know, it's good that people have embraced it, but ultimately, as soon as when fans come back, you can't be charging $4.95 for the stream. It's going to have to be, you know, a lot more, because you don't want people to not go. And you know, other sports, I know ice hockey is quite advanced in what they do streaming wise, and they charge like almost the same price as what it is to go.
Think it'd be practical, to be honest with you, James.
Practical in what way?
Well, I don't think it'd be
financially.
People who live in Whitehaven are going to go to Whitehaven. They're not going to watch it on the. And I don't know how much it costs to stream a live game through cameras and what have you, and staff, but I don't think it would financially be viable.
No, I mean, yeah, I would imagine that. My understanding is that when fans are back permitted, they're going to go back to having maybe one game a week on. So, like, they'd pick like a featured game that, you know, because the other thing as well is, and I'm sure the RFL probably haven't got the capacity for this, is that you'd presume everyone's going to go back to playing at Sundays at 3 o'clock. Well, I don't think the RFL have got the capability of broadcasting five games simultaneously. Whereas, you know, clearly in these opening rounds, everyone's been playing and kicking off at different times.
Yeah.
I think that's what they are going to do, is they're going to try and pick a featured game, whether it's Championship, whether it's League One, whether it's Women's Super League, and have that as maybe, I don't know, a Sunday night game or something. Because I think it's actually quite important that they have a standalone game, you know.
Yeah.
In terms of if it's going to be broadcast, whether that be on TV or stream, it should be standalone. I still think Super League should do this, where, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me where they have a game on Friday night in Super League and four other games are being played at the same time, and it's like, well, that's, you know, that's a massive part of your TV audience that's actually watching another game. You know, it's like if Liverpool are playing Man United on Sky on a Sunday in the football, there's no other games on at the same time, because they want every football fan to be watching that one big game.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting point about all that was, and you know, and to be fair, Paul might be a good person, you know, to finger this, is that clearly there's fans that live away from these places that want to watch the games who may not otherwise be able to go to them. And that is why streaming is and will always probably remain, you know, a good option. But one comment that Mark Foster made from the RFL was that if people would rather pay for a stream than go to the game, then clearly we need to do something about the experience of going to the game. You know, yeah. No matter what the cost is, it's like, well, you know, if for the sake of a tenner, you want to watch it at home instead of going to the game, well, clearly we need to do something about the experience of going to the game because it's obviously not good enough.
It's not, yeah.
I'm probably not the right person to, because I can't watch every game anyway because of the job I do. And I catch up with it on a Sunday night or a Monday morning when I get it through the Trust in Haven website, because we have the rights to broadcast it on the Trust in Haven website.
Our own match videos.
So, yeah, and I think a lot of the clubs do that themselves, don't they, and monetize that themselves. And I think that will remain probably, that'll be what normality is like again when things get back to normal.
And the other problem is I can't get Radio Cumbria in Manchester, so I can't listen to commentary anyway.
Well, it's that's gone online.
On DAB.
That's gone online.
It's gone online, but they tend to put the DAB thingy on it.
Yeah.
Unless you get on the BBC Sport website. And if the BBC Sport website's not doing it, you can't get it.
Yeah.
I have to listen to Wakefield versus Oldham or something like that.
Or
Widnes for that matter, but we're not good there. It's I'll ask you a question later on when we move on to the other thing we're going to talk about, i.e. the television deal. I'll ask you something, see what you feel with that.
So just on the championship season, Whitehaven are away at Oldham this week, and I'd say we'll maybe talk about that later on, me and you, Stubbsy. But our next away game is in fact Widnes away in a couple of weeks' time, so that'll be at the Halton Stadium, James, and it'll be spectators admitted, will it?
Yeah, on the 23rd, is it? I think it's 23rd. That'll be Widnes' first game because the Widnes are at home on the 16th, but they're playing it on the 16th. They're not moving it to the 17th. I fancy it. It'll be the first game back, and obviously Widnes have got a fairly big stadium, so I'd imagine they'll probably be able to have the 4,000 capacity in.
Will away fans be allowed? Do you know?
I've not heard whether they will or not. I wouldn't see any reason why they cannot be. Because I think Widnes certainly won't have 4,000 season ticket holders, so there will be some tickets going on general sale. I'm not sure. I think is Boris due to do some sort of an announcement soon, and I think that may well govern whether away fans can go. But I'd be surprised if they said that away fans couldn't go. Hopefully
it's a local game for me.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And I can go because I'm not working.
Well, there you go. Well, I mean, Whitehaven obviously already played at Widnes this season in the Cup.
That's right.
So they've already been down once, and, you know, Widnes are... You know, I'm not really too sure where Widnes are at, to be honest, but, you know, Whitehaven would probably be disappointed with... I'm sure they would probably have preferred to have beaten Dewsbury in the league rather than beat him in the Cup. I think that's probably a fair thing to say. And clearly Oldham probably surprised everyone with the win against Halifax. So,
that's a difficult one for us. Great. Okay. Well, let's see. We look forward to maybe being at the Holt Stadium in a couple of weeks, and maybe we meet up and see you then. But anyway, just the other big topic that's come out in the game just in the last week or 10 days was the confirmation of the new broadcast deal, which has been struck. And effectively, it means that the revenues from broadcasting on Sky Television will be retained by the Super League clubs, and the drawdown to clubs in Championship and League One, which has been the case under the existing deal, will no longer be there. That indicates to me significant financial problems ahead. James, is that how you see it?
Yeah, possibly. Inevitably, yeah. But I think there's a little bit of confusion at the moment, isn't there? Because I think under Robert Elston, when he was at Super League, there was some sort of agreement made. And I went to a briefing about this actually with the RFL, where if the TV deal was under a certain amount, then the Championship and League One clubs wouldn't get anything.
Yeah.
Now, I do believe that the TV deal is under that amount, but I'm sure Ken Davey, who's the interim chair or whatever it is of Super League, has actually said that I think he's actually said that they still want to provide some funds to Championship and League One clubs. So I think that's an ongoing.
So it's not the whole deal so far. There's there is still
there's still
finer points to be sorted.
I mean, clearly, I think there'll be a substantial reduction for Championship and League One clubs. I think that goes without saying. But I think clubs have been aware that this has been happening. So I think the more prudent clubs have probably prepared for it. So, you know, I'm certainly aware of clubs who've, you know, been working on the basis that they'd have no funding from next season. I think the clubs that it'll hurt most are the ones that are sort of living off the central funding. So I don't want to bury anyone in this podcast, but there's a couple of clubs, you know, perhaps who are probably closer to me than you, I should say.
Swinton.
Say again.
Swinton.
Swinton. Maybe Oldham's.
Maybe Oldham.
Oldham's another one who, you know, if you took away their central funding, what would they be able to put out? And I don't think they'd be able to put out the sort of team to compete at Championship level. Whereas if you compare that to, say, you know, I'm doing a bit of work with Barrow actually at the moment, and if you compare to the work that they're doing on and off the field in comparison to some of them, they could stand up without the central funding. You know, Widnes and the site teams with a decent fan base size, you know, Widnes is a good example. Widnes can stand on their own 2 feet without the funding at this level. So I think there's going to be some pain for some clubs, but I think it'll probably be useful in helping them find their level a little bit, because I think clubs have got very complacent in the Super League era in terms of they just sat on this central funding, whereas they need to be run like businesses, and, you know, they need to be thinking, well, if we want to spend, I don't know, 400 grand a year on the salary cap, well, we need to earn it. And by, you know, and the way you earn that is by marketing, commercial, community, all them things that clubs should do that at the moment certain clubs can get away with perhaps not doing that. You know, and still get they still know they're going to have enough money coming in from central funding to put a decent team out.
Yeah, so the smarter and more nimble clubs, I'll see there's a challenge and rise to that challenge. So the others might really struggle, I think, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually think it's. I'm actually more. I mean, it's easy for me to say because I don't own a club, but I actually think that it's a positive situation. And obviously, I don't want any teams to go. You know, I don't want Oldham and Swinton to suffer. But it might just wake them up a little bit and think, well, actually, if we are gonna survive and push on, you know, we have to do something about it. You know, because there's no point in just existing. You know, you've got to be able to wipe your own face and grow. And, you know, Swinton showed a few signs. That was like Oldham's a good example where, you know, if they get promoted to a Championship, they go off and play somewhere completely different.
That's right.
And it's like,
I think the problem is with Oldham and Swinton, they're not playing at their own ground.
Yeah, exactly.
They have to hear the ground.
You know, clearly the clubs that have got, you know, a traditional or a ground that they own. I mentioned Barrow before. Barrow, a great example. You know, the amount of stuff that they're around their ground that's making them, you know, a decent amount of money. You know, clearly Swinton and Old aren't that well. I suppose the counter argument to that is, on a second, why are they semi-professional clubs then if they've not got their own ground? You know, and, you know, clearly, you know, there's a lot of history and stuff, but, you know, as to why they haven't got their own grounds. But I think that's the reality of the situation, isn't it? They've got to find a model that enables them to play in a semi-professional environment and generate money. And if it means that Oldham and Swinton end up going and having to play amateur, they'd be better off playing at a lower level at their own, you know, like, for instance, Oldham sort of half got a place, didn't they, White Bank?
Yeah.
You know, I'd almost suggest they'd be better off trying to go back to square one, find their own place in their own town and just build up from there and see where they can go.
Yeah,
I've got to agree with you on that. Point. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, if you have to pay, I don't know how much it is, don't quote me on this, but if you have to pay, say, £5,000 a game to use a ground, that's your central funding gone, full stop, bang. It's gone. Now, that is what they're relying on. I mean, we're picking on probably Oldham and Swinton here, but if they've got to pay for that ground and they haven't got that, so that's £60,000-£80,000 down the drain straight away. They've got to find.
You know, it's not got, you know, Stalybridge Celtic are probably laughing their heads off because they get an extra £80,000 a year to chuck at their football team. You know, and I think that's the sad part. And, you know, and I also think that it doesn't really bode you in good stead for attracting new fans anyway. You know, how are Oldham going to attract the new generation of fans if they're playing
in the next town?
You know, in Swinton, you know, Swinton are playing a fair distance away.
Yeah, Road.
You know, and you know, it's a nice little setup there, but you know, unless you can get a really good deal to play there. And I always compare it to, you know, compare it to semi-professional football and non-league football. No matter where, no matter what team you play or whatever level they're at, a football team has always got their own home. They've always got their own ground. If you know you're going, if you're going to play Ashton United, or if you're going to play Morpeth Town, they've always got, no matter what, how old the ground is or where it is or how good it is, they've always got their own ground. And that then means that it's up to them to look after the ground. They can make money off it whenever they want. But the thing that always gets me is the fixtures just get, they, you know, it's part of the agreement that it's like, well, you're playing Saturday and Tuesday and you could get a game arranged. You know, if you've got a game postponed, it could get arranged for next Tuesday night and they can play it. Whereas, you know, you could never do that with Swinton and Oldham and teams like that, because they're obviously going to be like, oh, actually, we'll have to ask, you know, whether they're playing football on it or whatever. I think that's, it's unfortunate for them teams, but I think surely to sustain semi-professional sport, I mean, even community clubs, you know, you'll know plenty of community clubs up your way that they've all got their own clubhouses or their own patch of, you know, no matter how glamorous or not glamorous it might be, it's still theirs and that's their club.
It's in their community, isn't it? It's within their village or their district or whatever.
Having said that, just going to non-league football, are Widnes still playing at your place?
Yeah, yes, but it's funny you say that because they are actually developing their own. They've bought
They've bought
a disused facility, an old playing field and clubhouse. And they're developing it into a more suitable thing for them. So that's, you know, Runcorn was another one, where Runcorn, obviously, their ground got sold and they moved to the rugby ground and then didn't work out from there. And they've built their own ground where literally they've taken an 11-a-side football pitch, basically bought it, cornered it off. They've built a clubhouse. They've got stands up. And
it's very nice,
actually. It's built. It's being built from the ground up, and it's like, well, you know, if you're an Oldham or a Swinton, it's like if you just be a bit realistic and think, well, hang on, let's just do something to our level. Surely, some, you know, if you look at that Runcorn Linnets ground now, you know, it's not the greatest ground in the world, but it's their ground, and if they make money from it, they can invest in the ground and make it better, and that's what they have done. You know, they've got a brand new clubhouse there. You know, and I think that's what, whereas the thing with Oldham and Swinton, like you were saying before, they're sinking all this money into rent, and it's like over 10 years, they might have spent £1 million renting somewhere, where imagine if they'd have put that into their own facility that they've then got. And I know obviously getting land's difficult and stuff like that, but there's got to be a better way than how they're currently going about it.
What's happening?
Yeah, I agree.
So that's interesting, but I think so true. You know, it's you can't build a club without having some roots to grow from, and we've covered a lot of ground there, James. Thanks for just a couple of things to finish with, really. As I say, you've perhaps touched on it. There was talk in the past about restructuring the game. Do you think that's still rumbling away beneath the beneath the surface? You know, realigning the game. You know, especially outside the Super League.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I mean, obviously, it always feels like it's always in discussion, doesn't it? There was that one before the season. Was it? There was like a geographical split one where they were going to put Championship and League One together, weren't they, and then split them in some way. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. To me, I feel like there should be as many teams as there possibly can be.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things about the central funding. The reason why, because I know plenty of clubs who've applied to be in League One or have asked to be in League One that have been turned away. And the reason why is because the RFL didn't want to thin out the central funding.
The money, yeah.
Yeah, dilute the funding. Now, clearly, if there's no central funding, well, there's nothing to dilute. So that then means that that then means if 10 clubs from wherever want to come in and play in League One, well, I'm of the opinion, well, let's get them in.
Yeah, because you never know that's where the next...
No, because I think clearly there needs to be more...
Come from, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, you look at... It's never going to get anywhere unless you let... You know, you look at... There's 36 teams now, and if you look back 30 years ago, it's probably near enough the same 36 teams.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, that's even when you've chucked in... You know, I know Catalan and Toulouse are in there, but even with some of the expansion ones that you've had and, you know, a lot of them have been and gone sort of thing. So clearly the way it's currently set up is, I'd like to think that they'd be expand Super League and maybe have 20 full-time teams and then have the part-time leagues underneath. I don't know. You know, I don't particularly think there should be any full-time teams in the Championship. You know, I don't think that's necessarily should be the case, but
good point.
Who knows?
I think the biggest problem with that is Super League will never go from that 12 same thing because of its funding.
Well, that's and that's exactly the same argument with the League One, isn't it? So, you know, I'm a bit like, you know what? There's 24 teams across the two leagues. You know, if in 5 years there's 40 teams and we've got 220 team divisions in the Super League, well, that'd be great for me. You know, because the other thing is you look at it and you think, I to be honest, I was looking at this in Super League. If you say support Warrington or whatever, you've basically just been playing the exact same teams for the last 10 years. You've only been to 10 or 11 different places.
Yeah.
Because you're just playing the same teams.
Yeah.
You know, you want movement between the leagues because it means that you can. You know, you want movement because it means that, oh, yeah, I can go to Coventry, you know, we've not been here for a few years or, you know, places like that. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who decides, but clearly it's not.
I don't want to go to Coventry.
You went once.
To be honest, I was meant to be going this week until the Toulouse game got rearranged.
Yeah.
No, well, I went for our Championship thing and the train was late. I got there with 2 minutes before kickoff and I set off at 9 o'clock in the morning. Oh, it was a disaster, but we'll not go there. It's another story.
Anyway, yeah, so as I say, we've covered a lot of ground there, some interesting points. Expansion, even though the funding's perhaps going in the other way, be interesting to see what maybe happens. But just for the time being, James, as I say, this weekend, you're away to Toulouse, but at Swinton, so...
The reason for it, I think, is because Widnes are only due to play Toulouse once.
Yeah.
And so they had to fit it in because of the fixtures, you don't play everyone home That's and away, right. Do you?
We play them the week after. We play them next weekend.
Yeah, so Widnes are one of the teams that were only played Toulouse once. Now, clearly, if they postponed it, you know, you can't really have a season where they don't play, you know, you don't play each other. So that's why they've done it. I think Swinton are the same. I think Swinton are only due to play Toulouse once.
We are. Whitehaven are as well.
So, you know, I think it's Swinton were due to play. I think the teams who were due to play Toulouse away were Widnes once and not at home were Widnes and Swinton. So I'd imagine that Widnes and Swinton game will both be played over here is to lose home game.
Yeah, very good. Okay, then. Well, thanks very much, James. I say best of luck tomorrow. Should be a good clash against the Frenchmen. So best of luck. Best of luck to you for the rest of the season. And as I say, we'll maybe see you in a couple of weeks when we're down at the Alton Stadium. So thanks very much for joining us. As always, a pleasure.
No worries,
and some really interesting stuff to think on there. So thanks very much, James. Thank you. Yeah, okay then. So thanks very much to James Gordon. As always, some really good insights and some good stories there from James. I don't know about you, Paul, but I've one of the first websites to go do after the BBC Sport website is loverugbyleague.com, and that was James's creation. He's still involved with it, though I think he has other people on board, but also enjoy looking at loverugbyleague.com and just seeing what James has, his latest news reports and his blogs and whatever, all good stuff. And I say, great to talk to him here today. Yeah,
some great articles on there. It's a good listen and a good read, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah, so anyway, as I say, James is off for the game tomorrow. We've got a game to look forward to tomorrow, Paul. We've played three games since we were last on. Good win against Newcastle. Went to Featherstone the week after with when injuries starting to bite and the squad starting to look just a little bit thin. But we were in the game until 10 minutes into the second half. I think we were just one score behind.
Yeah, I think having watched it back, unfortunately, I think Charlo said exactly the same in his interview. The mistakes started to creep back in, and that cost us in the end.
Yeah, that's right.
It really did.
But I'd say, disappointed, but Featherstone was never never a game we would target to get anything from. While it's disappointing, it's not the end of the world. Last week's game against Bradford was maybe slightly different. Though Bradford, one of the better teams in the league, but again, got off to a good start, but lost our way again. And as you say, Gary Charlton making the same comments in his after-match interviews. Lost our way, put a lot of effort in, but made too many mistakes.
I think if we cut the mistakes out, I'll be perhaps got rose tinted glasses on here. I think if we cut the mistakes out, we're probably one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion, and I think it's a lot of people's opinion. It's just those mistakes that cost us. And I've got to say this, having watched the game back, some very strange refereeing decisions.
On the Our League streaming, the referee got some good raps from the commentators on there, but yeah, wouldn't it be?
I can't understand some of the decisions he'd given, and I don't think the guy can never remember his name. The guy that commentates on the Terry's. Opinion was the same as mine. Some very, very strange decisions about the number of tackles that people were having, this, that, and the other. I'm sure I counted eight at one point before he put his hand up.
It's difficult at the moment because you've got this resetting thing they do, and. For no obvious reasons, they get extra tackles. I'm not sure whether that was a factor there, but you could well have a point there, Paul.
I don't know what the yellow card was for. I couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
Whether it was
innocuous.
That's the one.
That's the one.
Twisted the neck in the tackle. I don't know, but I didn't see anything wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I've watched it two or three times. I've rewound it and watched it. Perhaps we couldn't see it because we were shielded from it, but obviously our player was down for quite a long time. Yeah. But the Bradford player was pleading innocence all the way through, wasn't he?
He was indeed. Yes, so. You're right. He was. So, as I say, in the aftermatch interview, Gary Charlton, coach, as I say, pointed to the same sort of failings, but he also pointed to an injury list which isn't getting any smaller. For tomorrow's game away at Oldham, they've announced a 21-man squad, and it seems very much like the same 20-man squad from last week's game. So we can take it from that the injury... Well, sorry, it's not quite the same. Added to the squad is Callum Phillips, who's back after his suspension. Yeah, sorry. So just one change to the squad from the previous week, the 21-man squad. Callum coming back in, so hopefully that'll give us a bit more... direction, a bit more organisation. But as
I think Terry.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I think Terry nailed it on Sunday in the commentary that he did. We got two centres, and once they were knackered, that was it. Yeah. With nobody to come on.
Come on, we hadn't. Yeah, good point.
Nobody at all to play in that position. And yeah. they did put a shift in on Sunday. They really did, both of them. And all credit to both of them. I'd have been on my back after 5 minutes, I think. But
so, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
and they took them off, and then we had the problem. We had nobody to play there.
That's right. I said, certainly didn't help our cause, did it? So tomorrow's game at Oldham, it's one of the games you'd probably be looking to get some points from, Paul. Would you agree?
It's one of the games I was looking at going to be honest with you, David.
Yeah, that's right.
Seeing as it's
that's
only right. 10 miles away from where I live.
Just up the road from Oldham there.
Just
yeah.
up the road. Unfortunately, well, I suppose it's a good thing because it would have been played on the Sunday and I wouldn't have been able to go because I was at work. But having it's played at 11:45 tomorrow, I can actually watch it live because I don't work till 4:00. So I suppose that's a bonus.
Swings it around.
But it is one of the games... Yeah, it is one of the games I would hope we get 2 points from. Having said that, Oldham seem to be our bogey team when we play them.
They do, don't
away.
They? Yeah. They do.
Very much so. The only consolation is we're not playing on that sloping plastic pitch.
Pitch, yeah.
They're playing on a sloping grass pitch at Staley Vegas. and it does, believe me, it does slope.
All right. I've never been there.
Right. I've been to many a football match at Staley Vegas, right. And it slopes dramatically from top to bottom.
Well, no one here
as bad as Batley. Yeah. I'd just like to make that point.
As I say, it's hopefully they'll have factored that into the game preparations and the game plan for tomorrow. Yeah,
it's. It is quite a nice setup if you could get fans in, but unfortunately you can't get fans in. It is a nice ground. It's better than the one they used to have up at White Bank Stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
I really do hope everything clicks tomorrow. Otherwise, I'm going to get it in the neck, aren't I, being down here.
Yeah. Hey up, yeah. Well, best of luck to the lads tomorrow.
I would hope we'd click.
Even with the injuries we have, the squad's still good enough to get the result if they can just cut the mistakes out, stick to the game plan. Yeah, I think we're
stop Danny Langtree. We'll be all right. I think.
Right. Yeah. He's the man, isn't he? There. Yeah.
He's going strong, isn't he?
But it's early kickoff tomorrow on the Our League live stream, $4.95. Make sure you get in there. I haven't got mine yet, but I'll do it this evening. And
I've got mine.
Yeah, good stuff. So yeah, so we'll let's cross our fingers for a win tomorrow. Just before we sign off, Paul. You've had to redraft the last fan standing. We're looking to get the last fan standing up and running, but you've had to redraft that because of fixture changes coming out from the RFL, from Super League, yeah?
Yeah, after scratching our heads and doing it and getting everything ready early and starting all out, trying to get it ready for internet, so on and so forth, the RFL decide or Super League decide to change the fixtures. It corresponds, I think, with 2 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, Dave. There's 2 weeks when they should all have played on the Friday night, and they now all play Monday and Thursday and Tuesday, but they spread over 2 weeks. And it happens twice. So I'll have to rejig it all. So anybody who wants a copy, don't email me at the moment. In our next podcast, I'll actually let you know when.
We'll try and get it out. We'll try and get it out in the next. Try and get it out in the next 7 days or so. Brilliant. Okay, then. Well, that's
hopefully
about
if we're
now.
Allowed in at Widnes. Hopefully, if we're allowed in at Widnes, I'll have some copies with me. It's all up, again, that's all up in the air at the moment, whether away fans will be let in, as we were talking about before. Hopefully I'll see you all there.
Yeah, good stuff. All right then, Paul, thanks very much. Thanks again for joining us. As another good podcast. I hope everybody enjoys listening in. Best of luck to the lads tomorrow. Just one last thing to say is our Mara's memories on a Thursday afternoon. I know not everybody can make it because of work commitments and what have you, but they are proving to be very entertaining. I've missed one or two recently, but this week's, as I say, was absolutely brilliant. Talking about Millen players and Whitehaven Rugby League really went down a bomb. So thanks to Mike Askew for that. And I'd just say to anybody, if you have an hour and a half spare on a Thursday afternoon, join us on our Zoom call. I'd say they're really good crack and good entertainment. So, if you're listening to this and you want to join us, get in touch with us at trustinhaven@gmail.com. Likewise, me and Paul turn up here, do our regular bit on the podcast, but we'd love somebody else to come and join us and contribute their thoughts and opinions, because that's what it's all about at the end of the day. So if you're listening to this and you want to join us, again, get in touch with us at trustinhaven@gmail.com. And you could be joining us for the next podcast. So, get in touch, please. So that's it for now. As I say, Trustinhaven podcast finished. We'll be back in just a little while with more news, views and interviews on Whitehaven Rugby League. But in the meantime, visit our website at trustinhaven.com, where you can find out what's going on and view our match highlights on the members only screen. So thanks for now, Paul.
Yep. Cheers. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for now. And we'll speak to you soon. And best of luck to Haven tomorrow. Thank you.